GM workers go on strike. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Some 48,000 GM workers won't be showing up for their scheduled shifts today. Workers with the United Auto Workers went on strike just after midnight after the union's contract with GM expired. The union targeted GM to go first in the talks and has extended its contracts with Ford and Fiat Chrysler. It's the first national UAW strike since a two-day walkout in 2007, as Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
For the union, this is a fight for middle-class jobs. GM posted a profit of $8 billion last year. Union officials say they stood up for GM when it needed them most, agreeing to concessions to help keep the company out of bankruptcy during the financial crisis. So now the union wants GM to pay up on issues such as wages, healthcare, temporary employees, improved job security, and profit sharing. But the automaker is arguing it needs to prepare the company to weather future slowdowns, to develop new electric vehicles, and to keep rising labor costs in check. GM says it offered over $7 billion in investments for its facilities, as well as solutions for two plants where it's planned to stop production in Ohio and Michigan, though it didn't explain what those solutions might be. Talks between the union and the company are supposed to resume this morning. In the meantime, striking workers will face a big pay cut. They'll make only $250 a week in strike pay from the union. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Crude oil prices were up almost 20% in early trading following weekend attacks on Saudi Arabian oil processing facilities. Those attacks wiped out more than 5% of global oil supplies. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live here in Washington. And Nancy, what will happen to oil prices now?
There are oil reserves that can be used to stabilize prices. The International Energy Agency, which represents oil-consuming countries, says it's been in contact with Saudi Arabia and other oil-producing and consuming nations. It says, for now, oil markets are well-supplied, and it's monitoring the situation in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia says it's going to issue a status report in the next few days.
So what does that mean for oil supplies in the U.S.?
Well, the U.S. has the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. It's an emergency fuel storage system. Reserves are stored underground in Texas and Louisiana. Last night, President Trump tweeted that he's authorizing the release of oil from the reserve if needed. Harry Chilling-Guerin is head of commodity research at BNP Paribas. He talked to the BBC about this.
The U.S. itself holds 645 million barrels of crude oil in its strategic petroleum reserve. So there is a lot of oil held in government-controlled storage that could be released onto the market should Saudi prove to take more time in reinstating its production.
So, Nancy, what kind of effect will there be on gas prices in the U.S.?
Well, Chilling-Guerin says oil prices were low before the attack and they're still subdued. He says right now oil prices aren't high enough to cause a big increase in prices at the pump, but he also says there could be more attacks on Saudi oil fields.
And with that, let's do the numbers. Brent crude is now trading at $65.48 per barrel. That's up almost 8.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 4 to 6 tenths percent range, with the Dow future down about 113 points. There are about 1.4 million transgender people in the U.S. and increasing demand for healthcare services to fit their unique needs. But there aren't enough providers who know how to care for this population. As Melanie Sevchenko reports, one program in Oregon is aiming to train more.
21-year-old Addie Stein recently underwent a series of procedures to align her body with her gender identity. She called the care she received amazing.
To have this resource is life-saving to a lot of trans people. I would put myself in that category as well, just because my experience in healthcare has been pretty horrible.
Stein is a patient at the Transgender Health Program at Oregon Health and Sciences University. OHSU has invested $1 million in the program, which serves more than 1,000 patients. It's one of half a dozen similar programs in the U.S. and one of the first to train providers.
I think we're making great strides in terms of our educational efforts for new learners. That said, we're still that many steps away from all of these people being deployed out into the environment to care for these patients.
There is a nationwide shortage of providers in transgender care, says Dr. Joshua Safer, executive director of Mount Sinai's Center for Transgender Medicine and Surgery in New York. He says one reason is transgender patients were traditionally sent for mental health treatment rather than medical care.
Despite good intentions, the largest barrier to care remains the shortage of appropriately trained providers.
In July, the American College of Physicians issued its first guidelines for internists caring for transgender patients. At OHSU, there are only two surgeons who specialize in transgender surgery, including Jens Burley. And Burley is one of just a few surgeons who can perform a specialized type of phalloplasty, or penis creation.
What that means for us is that we have a really long wait list, and that is, you know, hopefully something that will change in the future as we train providers.
Next year, OHSU will welcome two fellows from out of state to train with Burley.
I can only treat so many patients in any given week, but if I can teach other people, then that will, you know, benefit a lot more of the patient population.
OHSU has recently added transgender care to its curriculum for all nurses and medical students. In Portland, Oregon, I'm Melanie Savchenko for Marketplace.
Last night, Purdue Pharma, the maker of the painkiller OxyContin, filed for bankruptcy protection. It's a Chapter 11 filing, a reorganization. It's a move that was expected. In recent days, Purdue settled with 24 states, but two dozen more did not sign on. Between 1999 and 2017, an estimated 400,000 people died from opioids. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.